Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, we're live. Welcome to Save the Cowboy. Good morning, everybody. Save the Cowboy is a sick pens for sinners, not a show ring for saints, and I am so glad that all of y'all are here to worship with us today. I'm glad I made it. You think I'm joking. Between the time I left my house from 9 to 9:05, we had our first dachshund puppy. So Cammie's at home right now delivering dachshunds as we speak. And she was like, you got to wait till Shay and Jessica get here before you can leave. I was like, I'll try. So anyway, it's good to be here today. I do have a quick announcement. This is really, really cool, okay? Really, really cool. Kind of the epitome of ranching, I guess you could say, or one of the funnest parts of ranching, I should say, is being able to go to a branding, right? And there's lots of people that's been around a lot of stuff, but never had the opportunity to go to a branding or anything. Well, my buddy Jake Shuey down in Pueblo, he is the pastor of the 4 Bar S Gathering. And on August 30th and 31st, they are having a branding clinic. And they're going to open it up to 15 people. The cost is $250 and everything is provided. And Jake asked me if I would announce that, and it's already about half full, but if that has ever been one of your dreams, is to go to a branding and see what it's like, see how we do it on the ranch and other things, that would be a really, really cool opportunity. They have 3 instructors that will be teaching over the 2 days, and listen, if you want more information on that, I just gave you everything I know. Do not ask me for more information, okay? I do not have it. That's what I have. I will not be the liaison for the 4 Bar S Gathering, and that's nothing against them. I don't know, and I'm too busy to do all of that. So if that might be something that you're interested in, Google it, go online, find 4 Bar S Gathering, and call Jake Shuey and sign up for it. They do have a Facebook page. You can find it on Facebook as well. So great, great people, good friends of mine. Me and Jake both started. He started his, and I started Save the Cowboy within like months of each other. And so Jake was one of the first people I met whenever I moved to Colorado as far as a pastor. So anyway, that's going to be really, really cool. Let's see. What else was I going to say? That might be all I was going to say. But I do know I want to say this. I want to say thank y'all to every single one of you for being a part of this and for letting me be a part of this because, you know, something could be said. This wouldn't be what it is without me. But I assure you, I was preaching before I got here, and I wouldn't be where I am without y'all. And God has blessed this ministry in so many ways. And if this is your first time watching online, or if this is your first time here today, please, after the service, you do not have to sprint to the parking lot, okay? Come up and meet me and Ty and Mitch and the board members are here, you know. Introduce yourself, because there's only one of us and about 150 of y'all. And so we want to meet you, we want to know you, and we want to thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. And if you're joining us for the first time online, we do things a little bit differently here. We keep it very, very simple. And by simple, I mean we meet here once a week, kind of like a team huddle, so that we can learn something about Jesus Christ and following God and go out into the world and make disciples of all men and all nations. And so I just want to thank y'all. I mean, it's incredible that we just have a church service on Sunday mornings, and God led us to feed the hungry. And that's what we do. And I think a lot of times people, you know, well, what else do y'all do? That's it. And I don't mean that's it. That's enough. We're the body of Christ, and this is what God has called us to do. And He's blessed us in ways that, I mean, I would have never imagined being on the radio in 5 states and, you know, somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people watch us every week on Facebook alone. And I did have a pretty cool experience this week. Me and my wife went to over by Lakewood. Her uncle lives over there, and she goes and cleans his house and takes care of him and stuff like that. And then I went to go give blood, and right across the street from the blood donation center was Mardell's Christian Bookstore. And I got to go in there, and for the very first time, I saw my book for sale. And as awesome as that was, I walked in there kind of, I don't know if I was excited or dreading it. Like, it'd be cool if I found it, but I was scared that I'd walk that whole place and there would be no book. But, I mean, walked in, and like the first place I walked up to, there was my book. And then God has a way of humbling you, because the manager walked around and said, "Can I help you find anything?" I said, "Well, I found it." I said, "Would you mind taking mine and my wife's picture with my book?" And he said, "Sure." Took the picture, and I thought he might say something about it, right? And I said, "Thank you." He goes, "You're welcome," and just turned and walked off. I laughed about that. I did. I laughed about that. So anyway, it's just a way of saying thank you. That was not about self-promotion. That just shows that, you know, when I gave my I gave my heart to Christ as a teenager, but I gave my life to Christ in 2007. And it started with a simple prayer that said, "God, I don't know what you could do with a sorry cowboy like me, but if you'll have me, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, and I'll be who you want me to be." And that started a lifelong journey. But it's not a journey just reserved for me. That same journey, maybe not with the same outcomes or the same experiences, but that same deep growing in Christ is available to each and every one of us when we give not just our hearts and our thoughtful beliefs, but when we give Him every minute of every day for the rest of our lives to the best of our abilities. And I just want to say thank y'all. So, before we get started, let's go to God in prayer. God, You are the author, originator, creator of all things good. And God, I want to say a prayer today of thanks to You for the work that You are doing in all of our lives, not just preachers and those that are employed by ministries and churches, but God, the things that You do through everyday normal people. And God, that those things can be extraordinary when we give ourselves to You. God, I pray today that we abide by the Bible and we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Whenever I moved into the house where we will have church at the next 2 Sundays, remember that? If you come here, we will not be here. Just because we're not here doesn't mean that we're not having church. Ty, have we ever missed a Sunday?
Not that I can recall.
Not one Sunday have we ever missed, even during COVID. Now, we wasn't able to meet here, but I live broadcasted from our shop, me and Ty and about 4 or 5 other outlaws that didn't care what the government said, right? And so the next 2 Sundays is the Albert County Fair, so we will not be here, all right? So, and in addition to that, If anybody wants to get a little bit more involved the next two Sundays, we do need a little bit of help with traffic control, you know, sending people the right way and this and that, and even driving our two side-by-sides so that if people have a hard time walking over uneven ground or something like that, need somebody to drive that. So if anybody wants to volunteer with that, do not come to me with it. Go to Daryl. And everybody knows Daryl because he says hi to every single person that walks through the door. Daryl's going to be in charge of that. And if Daryl doesn't know, he can talk to Ty. And if Ty doesn't know, I probably won't know. So we'll just leave it at that. Anyway, John chapter 1. But when I moved into the house about 10 years ago, one of the strangest things, now I'd never lived in a house with a basement before, number one. Don't have those in Texas. And but when you walked in my back door, you basically walked into, like, I don't even know that you could have room to put a toilet in there. And it was literally four doors. You walked in the back door, you closed the back door, there was a door leading to the kitchen, there was a door leading to the basement, and there was a door to the left that led into the like a utility room, right where the wood-burning stove was. And you want to talk about hard to move in when the first place you come in the back door is literally like a 2.5 or 3 by 3 square, right? And so when we bought the place, one of the first things that I wanted to do was to move the door over, okay? So that it walked straight into the kitchen, not into this little nook or whatever you want to call it. Well, that's all good and well, and you know, it had the old concrete steps that probably weighed, you know, 7.5 tons, you know what I mean? And so we got the door moved, and before my good friend, and I miss him all the time, I think about him when I walk out onto my deck. But before Mr. John Perkins could build my deck for me, the stairs led right up to where the door used to be, right? Well, it was actually this way. Well, the stairs coming from the outside led to this doorway. Well, I moved the doorway from here to here. I did not move the steps from there to here. But it kind of, the steps were a little bit wider than the door, so it wasn't that big of a deal. And, you know, we were getting all the stuff together to build the little deck on the back side and all that. Well, one night something had happened and the dogs were barking, or I don't remember what it was. And you know how you just get in a hurry and you don't think about anything? And I went storming out. And I threw open the door looking out in the back, and I stepped out and I hit the porch steps with my right foot, and I started walking on air with my left foot. Listen, if you've never bailed out of a house in complete darkness and the earth disappeared from underneath your left leg, that is a horse wreck that you don't recover from. I thought I had absolutely killed myself. I landed inside my left eye, right? And I basically scorpioned myself, like to kill myself. Today we're going to be talking about finding Jesus. And I know a lot of people are like, what do you mean finding Jesus? I mean, he's all throughout the scripture. We know that he was born of a virgin and he lived a perfect life and then was crucified on the cross, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead. And you know, why are we looking for Jesus? He's right there, right? Well, yes and no. The moral of the story is that when we think the Old Testament is about God and the New Testament is about Jesus, we're walking out into the dark and putting one foot on a porch and leaving the other foot just in open air. Today, we're going to talk about finding Jesus in the Old Testament. Not just today, I think it'll be for the next 3 Sundays. And I don't know how to say just had a pterodactyl fly try to penetrate my nose. I lost my train of thought from the fly. All right, John chapter 1, and you'll get it here in a second. John chapter 1, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You know, last week we talked about reading the Bible and everything, and I confessed to y'all that I had never read the Bible cover to cover, and I know a lot of people, you know, like, well, I do that every single year. Well, great. You know, I mean, happy for you. But like, if you go to a chronological Bible, which is kind of fun to read, a lot of times in the chronological Bible doesn't start in Genesis 1. It starts in John 1. Because Genesis starts with the creation, but yet here, John is explaining to us that even before creation began, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was created through Him. And actually, in these five verses, John 1, 1 through 5, there's actually four descriptions of who Jesus is. The very first thing that this text says is that the Word of God has always existed. So when people say, well, you know, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. Well, that is true, but that didn't mean that He didn't exist before that. Now, none of us existed before we were born. We're not God, right? The second thing this passage teaches us is that the Word was God and was with God. Now, you can already see we're getting into the Bible concept of the Trinity, right? And you'll hear some well-meaning Christians that and other kind of offshoots of Christianity that don't believe in the Trinity, okay? They don't believe in the Trinity, and they'll say that the Trinity, you know, that word is not found anywhere in the Bible. And they're absolutely right. You know what else is not found in the Bible? The word Bible, right? I mean, the concept is there, but it's kind of hidden in the Old Testament with glimpses and hints at things. And then it's fully revealed when Jesus comes and the Holy Spirit is available to everybody that believes. But don't think that only Jesus and the Holy Spirit have been around for 2,000 years. No, the Trinity has always existed. And if you really want to make macaroni salad out of your brains, think about that for a little while, right? What was God doing before all of this? And the fact that He doesn't have a beginning and He doesn't have an end. I remember sitting as a child and thinking about this and really like getting deep into it. And the further you go, oh. You know what I mean? Because it's too much for us to understand, right? So the Word of God has always existed, and the Word was God and was with God. And then the third thing this passage teaches us is that everything that was created was done by the Word of God that the Father did through Him. Okay, with me so far? The Word of God has always existed. The Word was God and was with God. Everything was created by the Word of God. And finally, the Word of God brought light into existence, I guess you can say. The Word brought light into the world. And who is the Word of God? Well, you already know. It's Jesus. But not like we find Him in the New Testament. Okay? Today we will be talking about Jesus before his name was Jesus. And before his name was Jesus, what was his name? The Word of God. Right? Now, not technically, but that's what the Bible calls him, right? Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, like I said, if you have a chronological Bible, this is kind of the format that it fits. You go through John 1:1 and learn that there was things that existed before creation, and that was God and the Word of God, right? And the Holy Spirit, but we'll get to that at another time. But now we go back to the start of our creation, right? And let's read Genesis 1, 3 through 5. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Remember, the Word of God brought light into the world, right? Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night, and evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. And if any of y'all watched online or came to Emily's Bible study, she talked in depth about Genesis and the creation story and everything like that. But before going further than this text, when God speaks, and I understand that these concepts can be difficult, okay? But they're, in my opinion, they're only really difficult if you don't just go with what the Bible says. Okay, if you stop and try to start wrangling things and understanding things, you're probably going to get stuck, okay? So the best thing to do is to float down the river of this story of creation and just accept what the Bible says, because you don't have to understand it for it to be true. The truth is not based on our understanding. The truth is based upon God, who is holy and has existed beyond time and space forever and ever, front to back. We've already discussed that Jesus is the light of the world. So when God speaks, is it the Father speaking? No, it's the Word of God speaking, okay? So when God speaks into creation, "Let there be light," that is the Word of God saying that, and we know that the Word of God is Jesus Christ, okay? Not in the form that we know him after he came, but in his pre-incarnate form, right? When God speaks, he does it with his Word, so it is the Word of God doing the act, okay? Now, three verses into Genesis, at the very start of creation, we see light coming into the world, but not the light that you're thinking of, not the light that you're thinking of, right? He's not talking about the sun, moon, and stars. You're like, well, wait a minute. If that's not what it's talking about, how do you know? Well, I know this because in Genesis chapter 1, starting in 16, verse 16, it says, okay, so in verse 3 through 5, the last part of it says, "And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day." Okay? But if you go down to verse 16, it says, "God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day." So God created in Genesis chapter 1, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good, all of that. That's on day one. But it's not until day 4 that the Word of God creates the sun, moon, and the stars. What you're looking at is the light of the world coming into a creation, and that was God. That is the light. Do you remember in our study of Revelation that in Revelation 19 and 20, once everything's done, the millennial kingdom, the Antichrist, Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit forever and ever and ever and ever. It says that God will come down and make his home among men, and there will be no sun or moon, for the glory of God will be the light of the world. Okay? So we have to understand that there's two different types of light. There's the holy light of God that darkness cannot penetrate. But then there's lights, you know, if we were to shut off all these lights, there would be darkness, right? There's the visible light that we can see, but the true source of light is God himself, okay? And God saw that it was good, and evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day. Remember, in John 1:3, it said God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So when it says God made two great lights, who's doing the making? The Word of God. And who is the Word of God? It's the pre-incarnate Jesus. And then later on, 2,000 years ago, when God is made flesh, becoming the man that we know as Jesus, who ended up being the ransom for our souls. The concept of the Trinity is difficult to grasp as to how one God can be three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm sure anytime I ever teach on anything, I say what I think and then everybody tells me what their pastor said. Great! I'm sure it's might be better than mine, or, you know, who cares, right? But it's a difficult concept to wrap our minds around. And this is a very, very simplistic approach. It's like saying cowboys do things with cows, right? That's a very simplistic approach to what ranchers do. You know, they work with cows. Well, that may be true, but there's a lot more details to it. Let me give you the simple way I think of this. You know, whenever I said just go with the flow, this is the lifeline that if you start trying to kind of feeling like you're getting lost, maybe this will help you understand the Trinity. I think of God the Father as the brains. Okay? Jesus is the body, and the Holy Spirit is the heart and soul. Okay? Now, in human terms, because I just used a human metaphor, can a brain exist in all of its functions and its duties without a body? No. I mean, if so, you know, we could keep people alive forever by putting their brain in a jar and hooking electrodes to it, right? In human terms, a brain cannot exist in its designed form and function without a body, right? But a body cannot function without the brain. And if you ain't got a heart and soul, nothing works at all. So when you hear about the Trinity, and I think the hard part about it is English. That's the hard part about it, because English is stupid. You've heard me say it. We use the same words for I love my wife and I love Lucky Charms, right? I mean, our English language is not like the Hebrew language, where they, and even in the Greek, they have seven different words for love that the Bible uses in Greek, right? So, don't make a rule out of what I said with God the Father is like the brains of the outfit. Jesus is the body of the outfit. Listen, if I go out there with Ty and I rope something, is it my brain doing it or is it my body doing it? Yes! But can the brain do it by itself? No. And the body can't do it by itself, right? So, I don't want you to make a religion out of my simple human metaphor, but that kind of gives us an idea of their different forms and functions. I also heard it said like this one time, that God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son, and the, you know, you can go circular with that, right? Looking out, God is one. But look, or maybe looking in, it's one, whatever way it works out, I don't know. But it's a difficult concept to understand. So, with that being said, and then, where am I? I was just having puppies about 15 minutes ago, so I'm a little scatterbrained today. Don't make a rule out of this, but what I want to do is explore the secrets of Jesus. And in Colossians, you don't have to turn here, Colossians 1:27 says, "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles." That's us. And this is the secret. I told you I wanted you to know the secrets of Christ. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance that you are going to share His glory at some point in time. The same God that spoke the world into creation and walked and talked with Adam and Eve now lives in you. Let's talk about that right quick. But before we do, we need to go back to John 1. You remember last week whenever I said, if you want to study your Bibles, read the cross references. Did you know that the New Testament never quotes the New Testament? Is that over your head? The New Testament never quotes the New Testament. What does the New Testament quote? The Old Testament, right? You remember when Jesus, after His resurrection, you've heard of the walk to Emmaus, where He walks with the disciples, and they're all, oh, poor pitiful us, you know, our God died. And He's like, what do you mean your God died? And He expounded the Scriptures about Himself. He wasn't using Paul's letters to do that. What was He using? The Old Testament, He was pointing Himself out in the Old Testament so that they would be able to see that everything that had happened had already been foretold about it, right? So we're going to do what Jesus did, and we're going to go back to the Old Testament and see if we can't find Jesus, okay? All right. John 1:18, no one has ever seen God but the unique one. Now, who do you think the unique one is? Yes, one person knows it, Jesus, right? He's a unique one. Why is He unique? Well, I mean, He was God made flesh, number one. But was He a result of a husband and wife union? No. Was born of a virgin. He's the unique one. He's the only one born in history that didn't have the DNA from a mother and a father to make life, right? So no one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is Himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He, being Jesus, has revealed God to us. This says that no one has ever seen God the Father. But if God has been seen, we have seen the Word of God. When someone, this is a pretty good general rule of thumb, okay? That if anybody sees, hears, or talks to God on earth, they're not talking to the Father, they're talking to the Word of God. Because if God speaks, He uses words, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when people see, hear, and speak to God on earth, they're not talking to the Father, they're talking to the Son before He was Jesus, obviously. Man, this is hard to explain. It makes sense in my head. God has been seen in heaven by people. You notice I said on earth, right? God has been seen in heaven by people, but not on earth. To make it simple, okay? When someone sees or hears God on earth, that is the Word of God, the Son of God. All right? So I want to fast forward through the creation story to when Adam and Eve sin. Okay? And I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm fixing to read a passage out of the complete Jewish Bible. If you want to see the Bible truly kind of come alive, if you've got the Bible app or others, look at the complete Jewish Bible. It says the same thing. It just uses different words. And this is what Genesis 3:8 says in the Jewish Bible. They heard the voice of Adonai, God, walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. So the man and his wife hid themselves. They've already eaten the fruit that they weren't supposed to. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai God among the trees in the garden. Right? Now, who did they... I think a lot of times, because English is stupid, we read that as, and they heard the voice of God, Adonai, walking in the garden. What this really means is they heard the title voice of God. Who is the voice of God? It's the Word of God, and that is the pre-incarnate. Remember, I said, John said, no one has seen God the Father, right? So if somebody on earth sees, hears, or talks to God, they're talking to the Word of God. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai among the trees in the garden. So this is the Word of God walking in the garden. This is the pre-incarnate Jesus. Everything that was made and done is through Him. So they hide, and He says, where are you? Which I think is funny because He knew exactly where they were. Your dad ever said, what did you do? If your dad ever said, what did you do? You better answer him because he knows what you did. Right? So they don't, they have sinned, right? And in Genesis 3:21, God does something amazing. Okay? God does something amazing. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Now, most people would say, why did God make animal skins for them? Because they were naked, right? And they said, we were naked and afraid. And God says, who told you you were naked? Right? So God takes animal skins and basically makes coverings for them. Now, was that so that they wouldn't see each other naked? Well, quite possibly. They were embarrassed by it for the first time, right? But what we see here is the pre-incarnate Jesus setting the stage for His redemptive work on earth, because in order to cover up their sin, what had to happen? Animals had to die. That's the only way to make up for sin, is that something else has to die in your place. So in order for God to cover their sin up, God had to kill an animal and use its skin to cover them. And that is why they used the lamb for sacrifices and everything. And then later, if we would have continued on in John chapter 1, we would have seen that John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? So we see the first evidence that it takes sacrifice to cover up sin. Let's see. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to skip some of this. Go down to verse 22, Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, look. Okay, so basically, they have sinned. He's made up the animal skins to cover them. But here is something that is so easy just to read right past when you're reading the Bible cover to cover, right? You'll just skim right through this. But in verse 22, then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. Did you catch the Trinity in there? Yep, that was it. Us. You see God, well, you see the Word of God talking to the Father, Right? You can read it in your own Bibles, Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us. Well, does that mean that the human beings have now become God? Well, of course not. They have become like us in the fact that they know the difference between good and evil, right? The humans have become like us. The Word is talking to the Father, and the result is the Word of God kicks them out of the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:23. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. What does that mean? That in the Garden of Eden, everything was provided for nothing. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to plant. It was just beautiful, right? They could just go eat anything. They could have anything in the garden except the fruit off of one tree. And that's exactly what they went and did. No different than all of us. You know, if you want to tell a cowboy he can't do something, the first thing he's going to do is show you that he can, right? It's just our sinful nature. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. Who kicked him out of the garden? The Word of God did. The Word of God said, when you hear in a lot of these places when people are hearing God, they're hearing the Word of God. And it just makes sense. If you're listening to me right now, you're listening to my words. And if my words could become flesh, that's what God's Word did with Jesus. It's His Word that became flesh. But His Word has always been distinct from Him and equal to Him. Next week, we will find the Word of God in the story of Moses. And I hope that this was just a precursor, because I promise you, in studying for this message, I have learned things that I never knew. And I hope that your mind is blown, not just today, challenging some of the Christianity 101 things that we thought that we've always been taught, but it's a lot deeper than that. Right? Next week we'll study the Moses. And my hope and prayer is that you will go home and study not only what I've told you today, but I would love for you to start discovering Jesus and the Old Testament for yourselves. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for your message. And God, a lot of times, you know, understanding you is not only not easy, a lot of times it's impossible. But you have given us hints. We may not be able to see everything, but the things that we can see are things that you have made known to us. And God, I just thank you so much for these people that are, God, I don't know that I could have preached this message 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because this group of people that listened to Save the Cowboy and follow Jesus, they are hungry for the Word of God. And God, I just think that they are spiritually mature enough to go beyond the basics of simply giving their lives to God, and let's start knowing Him. And God, that is my prayer for myself and each and every one today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.